Good morning. This is Nancy McCarthy. I'm a reporter for the Daily Astorian, and you are listening to After Deadline. Today, we have Phil Simmons, who is a veteran services officer for Clatsop County in his day life. And by night and weekend and every other time, he is a member of a task force in Cannon Beach that is trying to build a new elementary school in Cannon Beach. And we will talk to him about that. Along with Phil is Sam Stidell. Sam is also a member of the task force, and he also happens to be a Cannon Beach City Councilor. Welcome, both of you, today.
Thank you, Nancy.
Good morning, Nancy.
I wanted to ask you, Phil, first of all, how did it come about that we all of a sudden in Cannon Beach need a new elementary school? The elementary school we've had in one form or another has been around the town for about 100 years. And now, all of a sudden, we need to have a new school. Why is that?
And it, you know, it's interesting. It started just a little over a year ago. It was actually November or December of 2011. The city council had a draft resolution, and they were going to recommend to the district, the school district, to relocate the school because of the potential dangers of the school. And it, I think it's partially had to do with the tsunami that happened in Japan previous to that. And there were some concerns because, as you know, the school, the majority of the schools in our district, is at a very low elevation. So if there were a near tsunami, it would be a bad location. So this started in December, and then we went to the council and worked with the council over a series of months. And we convinced the council to support forming a citizens-based task force to look into options to put the school in a safe location. So that's how it all started. It started just about a year and a few months ago. And frankly, in the past year, the task force has accomplished quite a bit.
Sam, you were on the city council when this whole situation came up. How did you feel about the idea of recommending to the school board that the school be closed or moved?
Personally, I was did not agree with the idea of moving a school out of Cannon Beach. It's a very community orienting thing to have a school there. So I didn't like the idea of moving the school or closing the school and letting the school district take it over up in Seaside. given that fact, I did realize that our school is in a very dangerous situation, both from the tsunami and from an earthquake, because it's an old building and it's not built for earthquake survival, basically. So
so you decided it needed to be at least moved to in another location.
Yeah, and of course, in the past, Cannon Beach has looked for other sites for the school. There's been a Blue Ribbon committee several times that have looked for all kinds of places to put one.
I wonder, though, why not just go ahead and include it as part of what they call the super campus up, which I don't think Doug Daugherty particularly likes the name for it, but the super campus up on the hills on the east of Seaside. Why not just let it relocate there?
You know, I personally, I moved my family here. We were actually living in Japan. I retired from the Marine Corps, and we decided to rent here on the North Coast just for a year, just kind of to take a look at it, and I have family nearby, and we fell in love with Cannon Beach Elementary School. It's an amazing school, and we came from a large school system where it was a good school system, but it was not the same, and it was to have a chance to be part of this small community school, it was magical. And frankly, we bought a house here based on this magical school. And when we learned that they wanted to close the school, my heart was broken. That's one of the reasons I kind of threw myself into this. I personally think having a community school for your young children, for an example, all the teachers at the school know all the children. They know them by name. They know them by personality. And it's so valuable. A child may go into the library, and the librarian, Mo, she'll know that child, and she can recommend a book to that child based on that child's interests and who they are. It's just an amazing school. It's an amazing opportunity for young education, and we want to keep that going.
And you went to school there, didn't you, Sam?
I did.
And was it that same kind of feeling when you went to school there?
Yeah, and actually throughout the entire school system, all 12 years of it, there was a connection with being a Cannon Beach kid, one of the kids that came from the Cannon Beach grade school. So I feel quite strongly that a small town like Cannon Beach needs that identity. The kids need that identity. I have no problem with the larger school in Seaside. It's perfect for high school and middle school to have such a campus. But for the grade school level and the really initiating phase for little kids, I think being in the community is very important.
And I want to add one more thing. I'm part of the fire department in Cannon Beach. And, you know, as folks may know, you know, every Christmas time we have a presentation where the kids do a musical presentation and the fire department shows up and we have a fellow play Santa Claus. And it's all great. But I think that just shows it's a central point or a gathering point for the community, because folks who are in the community here may not even have children in the presentation will show up for that. In the springtime, they have a program. It's called Celebration of the Arch. And again, it's a chance for the community to interact with these young children. And my feeling is that it's important to have the community tied to our children. And so if we can keep that, I think it's good for the community.
So the resolution was proposed, and the city council, what did the city council do? They established the task force then to look into...
The task force was pretty much forming itself, and so I think the city council just kind of supported it, because the families and the parents who are involved were very vocal, which was great. It showed energy. It showed the fact that we want to do some looking around for what could we do. At that point, we really had no idea what was available, because of the work that had been done ahead of time. There seemed to be a little more energy in it now because of the threat of the earthquake damage that could happen to the current school.
And who's on your task force? How many do you have?
Well, we've got, I think, maybe 12 people total. We've broken it up. So we have a group that meets regularly, and I would say there are maybe seven of us who meet regularly. And then we have an additional, and the focus of that task force, that group, has been to identify suitable land and really to kind of try to figure out where the land is, what it'll take to acquire the land and develop the land, and then put a school in the land. So we've called that the land subcommittee, for lack of a better
title.
That's
appropriate, yeah.
Sure. But then we have a separate, because we have a few different tasks here. We have to find the land, we have to get the land purchased, and then we have to figure out what it'll take to develop it. We also have to find the money. And as you probably are aware, the council has been fairly vocal that they are not as supporting of a tax levy. And frankly, neither am I. We're hoping we can make this happen without having to go to the voters in the form of a tax levy. And so we have a separate group of folks I've been working with, and our focus has been raising money. And so so that's kind of a separate group of folks. And between the two, we probably got 12 or 13 people that have been energized towards this project.
Are they all parents, or are they business operators, or people who've attended the school?
It's a really good mix of people. There's people actually who are not parents. There are businesses. There's not just Cannon Beach. There's Arch Cape, like Phil, coming from Arch Cape. So it's kind of the South County as far as the district's concerned. Ladies, gentlemen, young and old. Huh. So it's a really good task force.
A good cross mix then of the community, sounds like. Well, so what have you done so far? Almost a year that you've been formed, is that right?
I think one of the initial problems that we had was finding a site that we could use to start developing ideas around. As I remember, there was about 18 sites that we initially said, okay, these are possibles. Of course, quickly eliminated most of those.
What kind of site were you looking for? What
needed something on high ground, obviously, for the tsunami security. Needed something on stable ground, which is actually harder to do. And something that is within a reasonable aspect to Cannon Beach. You know, can't be downtown because that's all low. But so high ground in the vicinity, and then we got land use issues, because that's a really big problem, because Cannon Beach boundaries are pretty much all within the lower areas or too steep. We found about three or four sites that were viable. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Campbell Group came up and said, hey, we'll offer this chunk to you. We were looking at a little portion that the city owns way down in the south end of town that we call a sports park for some old reason. We were looking just to add a little bit to that so that we could have just enough acreage for our school site. And they came up to us and said, here's a whole bunch of acreage that they want to get rid of. And they offered it to us.
That was 55 acres?
55 acres.
Wow.
So on a beautiful hunk of land that is probably 90% high enough, very stable so far. We're going to do testing to find out. But as far as we can tell, it's a beautiful site. Uh-huh. That confused things because now we have more than we need. but it's been an interesting study, and people are coming around and seeing that there are a lot of viability to what we could use up there.
Now, is it just going to be a school up there, or are you also looking at as a city councilor, are you looking at it for potentially a an emergency refuge site or anything
right.
like that?
First and foremost is that anything we build, either as just a task force or as the city or any other entity that wants to build up on there, that it will be an emergency center. That was one thing that we learned from Japan, is that having an emergency center is going to be very important. So anything that's going to be up there is going to have a secondary use as an emergency center. Given that, we started looking at what's potentially available through the land use concerns and what they call critical structures. There are several within the town that we might be able to adapt using a master plan up there that would have several entities. The ones that have been batted around, obviously, are the school, food pantry, daycare center, the fire hall and annex so they could store some of their vehicles up there, the police station so they could store some vehicles up there, all this stuff that really relates to emergency but also is a critical structure that fits in with the land use concerns.
So it sounds like you would, while the Seaside School District is proposing a, quote, super campus up on the East Hills in Seaside, it sounds like Cannon Beach is proposing maybe a super city campus in a sense.
Super
there.
Emergency shelter, I think, is okay. A better term for me.
Hmm.
That during normal days, we can use for normal day uses.
Now, Phil, you're looking at this obviously as a potential for the school site. How would the school fit into this other kind of master plan?
You know, I think they can work hand in hand. One of the things we learned from the Japanese tsunami is there was one, and I can't recall the prefecture, the city's name, but there was a fellow who came and gave a presentation, and he showed that they had one school in particular. And when they built that school, they built it particularly because they knew that town, which lay below, was in a tsunami zone. And so they said, we're going to build a school. I think it was a junior high, a middle school. And we're going to build it so that if there is a tsunami here, we'll have this as an evacuation center. And it worked like planned. I mean, frankly, it worked amazingly well. So they had a high school. And then when the tsunami hit, and they built it up on the hill, when the tsunami hit, it wiped out most of that town. But most of the folks were able to escape the wave, and they got to high ground, and they lived there for months at the school. So I see this idea as being good for the community in regards to having a school, but also good for the community in regards to having a safe location in the event of a tsunami that destroys a large portion of the homes in the town.
You are listening to Coast Community Radio. I'm Nancy McCarthy, Daily Astorian reporter, and this is After Deadline. Today we're talking to Phil Simmons and to Sam Steidel. They are members of a task force that are looking for a school. Actually, they're looking to build a school in Cannon Beach. They are in their first few steps of finding land for the school and then getting enough funds together for constructing the school. Phil, hasn't one of the builders in Cannon Beach said he would donate an emergency shelter to the city?
Correct. So one of the citizens of Cannon Beach, one of the local builders, has made a very generous offer, and his offer was to construct an emergency shelter, has a multi-purpose building, and his idea was it can be used as a school if the school district or the city are so inclined. His idea was to have a shelter for the citizens, but to make that building available to be used for other purposes. You know, ideally, you could build a building large enough to shelter the folks of Cannon Beach. It'll be a large building, and so, you know, ideally, that building will be multi-purpose. And what better multi-purpose in my mind than a school?
But don't you have to follow certain building codes for a school that might be different than for an emergency shelter?
We've talked to an architect, and they're still trying to sort some of that stuff out. As far as I know right now, Oregon building codes are high enough that they would cover most of what a school would need. But doesn't mean we can't go higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be the intention, would be to build the best possible structures that we could up there for what we need. You know, again, we have to balance what we need. I'd also like to include that our benefactor, and actually we can name him because he's public, is Mike Clark, Coastal Properties in Cannon Beach, has been very upfront and has helped us purchase the land also. Mm. So he's helped us with the purchase and is helping us with the emergency structure.
Now, the land hasn't actually been purchased. The council has an option on it, isn't that right?
Yes, we paid for the option that will give us a year and potentially another 6 months after that, if we want to sort out the problems of purchasing the land. City Council has pretty much said within themselves that we are totally behind purchasing the land for whatever use we can come up with. That support is very important because I think the school aspect, even though it is the task force, is separate from the city, we are partners in this. And how the school works and how the city goes ahead with what it's got in mind for emergency structures and stuff like that all mesh together. And it's very important that we work together, and the land is key.
But the council has not come right out and said, we are supporting the school, or we will help you build a school, or we approve of the idea of a school. They've come short of that.
They've come short of it because there are still some concerns. And those concerns are valid in that we have certain responsibilities that need to be answered. Financially is one of them. Is it sound as far as supportability in the future? We have had just recently a good discussion with the school district. We believe that we're going to partner with them, and as long as there's good support with them, with the city, with the task force, it gets pretty complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so
it sure does.
A lot of that kind of has to be pussyfooted around.
But I wanted to chime in on that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues or one of the concerns the city had was whether the school district, if there was support from the district or how they played into it. And I think one of the steps that Sam was talking about is we need to get the school district on board, and we're a long ways in that process, I think. I think we're going to have the school district formally on board, the school board through the superintendent. I think we're going to have an agreement with them that when we get that negotiated, I think that'll go a long ways to alleviating the city council's concerns.
How much is all this going to cost?
the property was about $360,000. That is because it's got a lot of trees on it, and the trees are valuable. And so that's one of the things we still have to kind of work out. The actual building of a school, we don't really know. We're guessing at a couple million. It's one of those things that you kind of have to wait and see, because the architects have to come in and tell us what is needed, what is allowable as far as codes, and then we put in our dreams and what we want. Hopefully we'd like to expand it so that it becomes a really updated version of what we've got now. It's a small school, mm-hmm. but it's also something that we use as a community hall. And we can use it for summer programs and stuff like that. So there is some applications that might be really beneficial that might cost a little bit more.
And what about fundraising? The task force has been fairly active in fundraising already, hasn't it?
We have. So it's been a progression. We really couldn't start the fundraising until we had land identified. So now that we've identified land, we've started the fundraising process. And fundraising will happen in a few different steps. So the first round of fundraising, we started right before Christmas, and we sent out a selective mailing just to some folks who we thought would be supportive of the school. And the goal of the initial fundraising, we have to raise the money to pay for the engineering and the architectural work. And that, like Sam was saying, once we have that, we'll know what the real cost will be. So our first step in fundraising is to raise enough to pay for the engineering and the architectural. And we've been at fundraising for about a month and a half now, and we're just shy of $15,000. Which I'm told is good. Mm-hmm. My goal is 30, and so but checks are still trickling in. And to give you an idea, I think we've had 36 people donate, and the contributions have ranged from $20 to $2,000. So it's been a range of contributions.
Wow, quite a range.
But people are still contacting me. I've heard from several folks, checks in the mail, and I believe that. So the money is still coming in. Maybe not quite as fast as I had hoped. But again, it's all. I've never done this before, so my expectations may be a bit high. But the money is coming in, and $15,000 is quite a bit of money, really from a really select group of fundraising. That's the first step. Mm-hmm. After we pay the cost to determine what it'll cost for the whole building, our goal is to have this happen without raising taxes. So then we're going to start a second round of fundraising, and that'll be more complex. We're going to try to open up the group of people we're going to address. We're going to try to go after some grants. Actually, we're hoping to get a large portion of this through various grants that are available. So we're early in the fundraising, but I think we're doing pretty well.
This initial $30,000 that we're talking about will give us the ability to have the architect create something that people can see. Mm-hmm. So that you have a visual, you have a concept that is fairly sound, so that you know what we're doing. So when it does come time for us to ask you money or ask for your aid in volunteering and however we need it, you'll know what we're talking about.
Something to get your hands around.
And that might
take
a little time, because to do it right, I think we need to, you know, but this initial $30,000 will also help us do the geoengineering that will be needed for the land use decisions that need to be made, which are very complicated. And so when we find out how sound the ground is, where the best sites are, how the road access will happen, how the utilities will get there, then we'll have some pretty clear definitions of what's happening, and then we can ask you for money.
Well, what do you do next? What's the next step?
Well, I just said it, the geotech engineering.
Oh, okay.
I think we've got enough now that we can start finding the professionals who know how to do this, talking to our architect, and coming up with some ideas, maybe doing a few public hearings so people can get some input. I don't know. We haven't talked about this that much, but where we are next, once we get the school board up to speed with what you're doing, which is complicated because what they're doing right now is very complicated too. The city council and the task force will meet and talk about things, make sure everybody's on the same page.
Well, it sounds like you have quite a few steps to go, but you've accomplished quite a bit, too, in the last few months. I mean, the idea of even finding land was quite a question, I think, at the first part of this, since task forces in the 1990s tried to find land and never found it. So, you know, congratulations on that. You also have some state land use regulations that you need to meet as well, as I understand.
There's some
it.
Big hurdles as far as land use.
Yeah.
Right now, the Oregon Resiliency Plan is being formed and will be heading towards legislation pretty soon. I don't know all the details on that, but look for your paper. It mm-hmm. might have some eventually.
And the Oregon Resiliency Plan talks about critical buildings and getting people out of those buildings that are susceptible to tsunamis, especially tsunamis and earthquakes. So I think. Yeah.
And we really have to thank Debbie Boone and Betsy Johnson for their support behind this.
So this moving the school to higher land would meet some of the requirements of the Oregon Resiliency
Plan. And the Resiliency Plan is actually focused on the entire state, but one whole section of it is the Oregon coast and how it will react to a tsunami, both a distant and a close-in tsunami.
Right. Phil, what's on your plate in terms of things that you want to see the task force doing?
Well, I think we've covered it. We need to finalize an agreement with the school district, and I think that'll happen soon, I believe. And once we've finished that, once we have an agreement with the district, because you know there are some folks who have said, well, what if you build the school and the district won't staff it? And I don't believe that's the case. I believe the district will staff it. We're going to negotiate and put something in writing. Well, they will stand behind that. Once we've done that, and then we have the land, we have the district behind us. I believe the city will be behind us at that point. Then we'll start raising money, and we need to raise some money, and we're going to do that. It's a process, and it's step by step, but we're going to go out to the public. I anticipate this summer we'll be busy raising money for the school.
Well, where can people send their money if they do want to make a donation? Yeah,
and thank you for that, because we are looking for donations, and every dollar helps. And so we have a task force is partnered with the Cannon Beach Parent Teacher Organization. And it's a 501c3 organization, so any money given is tax deductible, and we send receipts out to donors so they have that for their records. And the P.O. Box is in Cannon Beach. It's P.O. Box 1171, Cannon Beach 97110. And they can make the check payable out to Save the School Task Force. And again, we'll send them a receipt for any donation that they give.
And that post office box again is 1171?
Yes, ma'am.
1171 post office box. All right. So tell me in the last few seconds that we've got here, what your vision of the first day of school might be?
Actually, the vision right now is when you go up and take a look at that piece of property. It is gorgeous. To be able to have that kind of a site for a school that is surrounded by a forest, that could have trails and stuff through it, outdoor classrooms. It's just a vision in itself.
So the kids will have a great view at the same time they're learning, huh?
Surprisingly, right now you can barely see the ocean because of the trees.
Yeah, but you can see the trees.
But you can see the trees.
And they're going to be cutting some of those trees, aren't they, to pay for the land?
Right now that's a big question. If we can raise some more funds to save the trees, we will. Otherwise, we have to clear cut it, and that'll pay for itself.
Great. Well, so we might not only have a new school up there, we might have a new emergency city shelter and maybe some emergency city facilities as well. Yeah. In the not too distant future, but maybe not too soon either. Phil, would you like to say something else?
I just, you asked what my vision is, and my goal, my youngest is going to graduate in next year from Calumet Elementary, so he'll be going on to the middle school. But my goal is for my grandchildren to have a chance to go there, so that's what I'm hoping will happen.
All right, first day of school. Everybody wait for the first day of school. This is Nancy McCarthy. I'm a reporter for the Daily Astorian. You've been listening to After Deadline. Thank you, Phil and Sam, for coming by and telling us about the new school in Cannon Beach.
Thank you, Nancy.